Welcome to this ICMA Sustainable Communities podcast. ICMA is the premier local government leadership and management organization. The ICMA Sustainable Communities Initiative strengthens local government's capacity to meet their sustainability goals. For more information, visit icma.org.
This is Allison King with ICMA. Joining us today is Randall Reed, County Manager for Alachua County, Florida. Randall is also Chairman of ICMA's Sustainability Advisory Committee. Thank you for joining us today, Randall.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Randall, would you tell us about the ICMA Sustainable Communities Leadership Initiative?
Well, the ICMA as a professional organization for the last several years has been addressing the issue, which we feel is the issue of the age of sustainability. And as part of that, the number of processes has been going on in ICMA, and one of those was the adoption of a strategic plan, which basically set as one of our goals is to be the premier association for local professional government managers in order to create sustainable communities. And so that's one of the major thrusts of ICMA. And as a part of that, we've had for the last several years a committee that has been working on a sustainable communities initiative. And that is called the ICMA Sustainable Communities Advisory Group, or board, or committee. And we've been working to try to implement that kind of goal within our membership.
How does that tie in with the sustainable communities commitment?
Well, one of the things we had talked about early on as we've talked about sustainable communities is the need for individual managers to recognize that as ICMA members, we need to make a commitment or a pledge to try to concentrate on the concept of long-term thinking for the benefit of our communities in order to be and create sustainable communities. And that's almost like the ICMA Code of Ethics. It's something that is a lens. It's something that we can use to help us make decisions. And so in that context, what we thought would be best to do is to try to assist at managing and to educate managers about sustainability and then have them make a personal commitment. In fact, ICMA actually prepared a commitment form that people can sign, and many managers are putting that up next to their ICMA Code of Ethics as a way of helping to remind them that we have a long-term view of what our communities need.
Okay, you mentioned that sustainability is the issue of our age. Can you talk a little bit about that, why it's the issue of our age?
Well, I think it's getting pretty well accepted that we're facing some fundamental challenges, and those challenges are environmental, such as climate change. There's issues of food scarcity and shortages. There's issues of changing weather, migration patterns. The cost of energy has been fluctuating. Many people in this country are very concerned about issues of even our finance of our communities and long-term debt. So we're into a period of just really traumatic change, and part of that is going to have to be dealt with us taking a different view about how we're managing and really strengthening some of those civic reform, progressive reform movement values that we had when our profession first started out, looking at how we can be the agents of change to make more sustainable communities.
And what does a sustainable community look like?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would tell you that we're looking at having communities that are sustainable actually look differently in different places. One of the concepts of sustainability is that you really need to take a close look at not only the heritage of your community, but the environmental context in which it's in. We're all in different bioregional systems, and we need to recognize that many of us have solutions that are unique to our particular area. So it's really looking that in this age of globalization, local governments become even more important, not less, but even more important, and that each community needs to look and kind of take an inventory and try to design locally appropriate, sustainable solutions to problems. And those would be different from one place to another in every context that you might see different architectural styles. You know, Native Americans, the indigenous people here in Florida, lived in what was known as chickies. There are igloos in the Arctic Circle. There are the Plains teepee. And they adapted their lifestyles and the technologies that were being used, the materials that were being used. We have a history of that in adapting that based on local place. Even our musical styles and literature comes up. It stems and comes up, bubbles up from local areas. So we need to go back to those kind of solutions. So there's not a one-size-fits-all solution to this. It's looking at what works in our communities and what's appropriate technology-wise, cultural environmentally to make sure that we do have that long-term beneficial impact on our citizens' future.
Okay. What is the role of the manager?
Well, I think the first step that many of us recognize in terms of sustainability and creating those kind of communities is just that self-discipline to, first of all, understand the context of where our communities are and what their history is, as I mentioned, what the environmental context that they sit in. You know, we have communities that are under a great deal of financial stress. And so all those type of things that we often look at, you could look at sustainable communities much like an umbrella, and there are different practices underneath that umbrella, such as energy conservation or smart growth or affordable housing. Those kind of issues that we deal with all the time are different from place to place. But I think what you would be saying is that there would be a perspective by managers, almost like a lens or a set of eyeglasses, that you would be looking at making decisions, recognizing the long-term impact of your decisions. It's real important to always fall back on the standpoint that sustainability is often defined as the idea of decisions that have a triple bottom line, and that's whether you're in business or whether you're in government. The triple bottom line represents that a decision that you make has a beneficial impact both in the present and in the future on the environment, on the social fabric of your community or the social equity, the fairness that exists within your community, and also the economy. And so those three E's, as they're called, or some people call them people, place, and people, place, or planet, and prosperity. Those types of phrases are often used, but it's really focusing that there's an environmental good that needs to be achieved, there's a social good, and there's also a need to have an economy that prospers. And so that's kind of the nutshell of sustainability, is making sure your decisions address all three of those. And often as managers and politically in communities, you can work in a community that is much more oriented to one of those contexts or circles of concern than they are to all three. But sustainable communities tend to make decisions that benefit all three. That's the triple bottom line.
Why does some managers struggle with this concept?
I think the reason why some managers struggle with it is, first of all, there's a loss of context, the fact that this is part of the American idealism from the very beginning. The founding fathers and even the indigenous tribes here practiced sustainability, and they thought about the long term. An example of that is just how frequently our forefathers wrote and talked about posterity, that what they were doing at the time of our revolution was important, that it would impact the future generations. They spoke about that, so they made decisions in accordance with that that they thought would benefit the future. And so that's one of the reasons, is we've kind of lost the sight that, again, that is part of our traditions here in the United States. The other is the fact that it's a global issue and it's an international issue, and sometimes managers have viewed this as something that people are doing elsewhere. And that's rapidly changing because every day the headlines now are trying to deal in a global economy and we're impacted by a global financial market. If you're an industry town and you're losing your industry, be it automotives or be it textiles, you recognize that there's a basic threat to the sustainability of your community. And so it's not just then, in that case, an environmental issue. It becomes an issue of industry and future and tax base. So I think sometimes managers put this in a concept of, well, this is sustainability and it's real broad and I don't understand it. So it may not apply to me, but it actually applies to everybody.
So then being a sustainable community is much more than just about environmental.
Yes, certainly. History would show that civilizations that have really violated or damaged or abused their environment often have suffered really severe consequences to that. So there is the environmental issue, and the environment, by the way, is basic. We're right now struggling with natural resources issues around this country and around the world. ICMA members are dealing with issues of water shortages and energy issues and the cost of energy and even food supplies. So those kind of things are very, very important, and those are issues that we face every day.
It sounds as if sustainability is a way of looking at the daily tasks we do then in a different manner.
Well, yes, I think that's, again, that goes to the idea that sustainability is a very much like a philosophy or a value system. And so, therefore, the simple things that we do during the day, and particularly commissions, you know, if you establish a vision, which is really necessary, that we have a vision of the future, You really don't achieve a vision on the short term. You achieve it over the long term, making incremental decisions. And so that really comes down to the decisions as managers we make and to the decisions that are made at every commission meeting. Here's an example. One of the things about sustainability is that it requires us to use some synergistic thinking in solving problems. Systems thinking is what it's also called. So you try to get the synergy between different elements to make a better solution. So in the example is every time we build a facility, just like nature, a beautiful tree provides a habitat. It provides materials that end up benefiting the environment. It provides wood. The wood can be used for a number of purposes, from houses to artwork. Nature does things that are multi-use and multi-purpose. So as managers, one of the ideas would very well be that as we plan facilities, that we recognize and that they need to be not only energy efficient and conserve water, but they also need to be multiple use. They need to be, a landfill must be something more than a landfill. You need to think about what the landfill is going to be in the future. In fact, you need to try to say, why do we need landfills? Why don't we reuse the materials? And how can this piece of refuge be used and marketed and turned into something else? That whole idea of life cycle, the whole idea of holistic thinking, is really fundamental to sustainability, and it's the kind of training and the kind of attention to self-improvement that managers are going to have to do to be better managers.
And what if a manager works for a commission that doesn't recognize the need to be sustainable?
Well, I think in going around speaking to managers, you know, we have the blessings of working in some pretty wealthy communities. We also have some communities that are facing some very terrible social situations and financial situations. So our managers serve all types of communities. But I think the important thing is if we can help educate our commissions, just as we have to ethical government, if we can talk in the same terms about sustainable government, we may be in very wealthy communities that exist in regional areas that have really disapportionment in terms of the resources around even a county. And so there's the issues of the interregional dynamics that goes on. There's issues that there's a concern worldwide for resources of the planet, and sometimes we don't really think about those, but every citizen and every community that takes actions that are beneficial to addressing some of these issues and practicing conservation, practicing reuse, making better decisions, and even being sometimes more generous in terms of how we utilize and share resources locally and regionally, that all benefits the overall dynamics of the planet and our country. One of the things that I'm always impressed with is when you get in discussions about sustainable communities and you start talking about energy conservation, we need to really recognize that that's not, again, an environmental issue, because if you are concerned, as I am, about national security and the security of this country, as most people that care about their country, we need to recognize, particularly in the United States, that our national security is very much involved with how we handle the energy issues. There are wars over water all over the world. There's litigation in the United States about water more and more frequently. There are places that are being restricted in their growth because of the lack of resources. And quite candidly, there's other places that are growing in what's called, many people would call, very sprawling patterns, utilizing resources that are really depriving other areas from their potential. So those kind of issues are issues that we all share in, and I think that one of the obligations of managers is to help help educate and inform about the context of where individual commissions are at in terms of how do we fit into this overall picture. How do sustainable communities doing locally appropriate things create a better whole, holistic system, which will benefit the planet and benefit our country?
Can you tell us some of the best practices that ICMA managers are using to be more sustainable?
Well, I think this is a really exciting thing because we've got the concept down, the philosophy, and there's many people that are very dedicated to the idea of creating sustainable communities. And I think, in fact, that's becoming well the norm in our professional organization as this progresses, and it's being talked about daily. But the idea of developing best practices is where I think the real momentum is right now and where we're headed. Best practices, and I want to talk about managers as being performance managers. We are frequently talking about performance measures. And when you talk about sustainability, you really need to think in the community context. You need to talk about what kind of indicators. We have this vision. What are the indicators that we're successfully meeting that vision? And you can call those metrics or measurements. But so one of the things we need to apply our skills at are best practices that help expand that idea of performance management that we use in our own organizations to promoting the idea of looking at community indicators of how successfully we're achieving our vision of a sustainable community. And if you look at that from that framework, and I think the easiest way, if you imagine an umbrella and you imagine the idea that an umbrella represents the sustainable communities movement or initiative, then many of us want to speak about that in only the things that we're comfortable about. For example, if I'm really interested in finance, I talk about financial sustainability. If I'm interested in housing and planning, I talk about smart growth or affordable housing. Well, those are individual practices. That's not really a sustainable community because you can have that practice and still fail in the long term. So some of the practices that we believe are beginning to be developed is that overall concern, you know, for smart growth, for the way we build and construct cities that conserve resources and make wise land use decisions. There's the idea of being wise in how we use resources in general, and that's very much related to energy conservation, water conservation, alternative energy systems and sources. There's the entire idea about the waste that we produce. We're a materialistic society. We use tremendous amounts of packaging and marketing. We need to talk about, and one of the practices is how do we successfully recycle and reuse materials that are generated by our communities. Green buildings, again, goes back to not only the energy conservation, like LEED standards, which many of us are employing and putting in as requirements in our communities, but it goes to the concept of green buildings in terms of perhaps green roofs and other features within our buildings that you reutilize materials that are sustainably grown. So, for example, that we're conscious of what materials are used in our buildings and where they're coming from. Another example might be agriculture. Almost every new urbanist development now talks about having community gardens. Many of them have community markets. But the real indicator is when you talk about security for your community and food sources, just how much local agriculture do you actually support? And again, how do you integrate agriculture and gardening and those types of necessary food production into an urban setting? So, again, local agriculture suddenly becomes something that is of concern. Mass transit is another area. The idea of how are we transporting citizens? How is transportation related to land use? And what are the best practices to have transportation systems that can handle denser populations, use less energy, less fuel? And how do you do that in this kind of environment? So those kind of best practices are developing. Housing is a fundamental thing. Shelter is important. We need to obviously shelter our organizations and community buildings, but the basic need is for every individual to have shelter, and so the idea of affordable housing and how we build homes and how we finance homes in the future is going to be important. So those are all kinds of areas where there are best practices being developed. Now, I'm real proud of ICMA, and if you go back through the history of ICMA, and the efforts of our members, we've always had places that are on the leading edge in every one of those areas. And those are the kind of things we attend conference sessions on routinely and have for years. But I think the context that we need to think about this is that many of those areas are becoming more and more urgent, more and more vital, more and more critical. You can't dismiss the fact that at the age of 55, for me, I have in my lifetime seen the world population go from about 2 billion to 6 billion. If I'm fortunate to live a normal or a nice long lifespan and there's no traumatic event, the world population is going to be 9 to 10 billion. And when you have that kind of population growth, and if you allow others to have the standard of living we currently enjoy, it takes multiple planets. Sometimes people use the phrase nine planets to equal America's standard of living if everybody in the world enjoyed that. So if we're going to allow that kind of prosperity, if we're going to use that wisely, use our resources more wisely, we need to move on that soon. We need to recognize that just in my own limited lifespan of 55 years, the world has dramatically changed, not just in technology, but in the amount of consumption and resources. And if you put on that perspective, then we are all living that change. We see that. Now, younger members of our profession coming in also have the idea, perhaps more than some of our older members, of the new social interaction forms that are going on in terms of, you know, Facebook and different methods of organizing and communicating. So that's the other issue. This all has to be communicated. Communities come together through conversations. Two strangers meet, they talk, and you get a sense of community developing. And now that's not just face-to-face. That's a variety of mechanisms of interaction. And ICMA needs to, as a best practice, use all of those to promote the sustainable thinking and decision-making at all levels among all generations. And the bottom line of this is that what we're doing now needs to benefit the future generations that are going to come after us. And many of us feel an urgent need to try to bring that to the forefront as we're making decisions that are probably compromising some of our own children's futures.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us today, Randall.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, Allison.
This has been an ICMA Sustainable Communities podcast. For more information about ICMA's Sustainable Communities Initiative, visit icma.org.